The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. There's so much to say about Easter that even a season of 50 days is too little to fit it all in. The entire Christian religion is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is an inexhaustible source of doctrine, confession, life, and celebration. But take away Easter, and you take away everything, like the forgiveness of sins. Because Easter tells us that Good Friday worked. It really was finished. God had accepted the sacrifice of his Son. Take away Easter, and you restore everything. Everything bad. You put back into power the devil with his hold over you in sin and death. Take away Easter, and you take away life. Because death now becomes the eternal destiny of everybody. Everyone's eternal fate. Take away Easter, and you take away the glorified body, described in this morning's lesson as the capstone of the Christian hope. Not only life forever, but an embodied life, and so glorious that it's beyond imagination. But at this idea, the resurrection of the body, some of the first Christians in Corinth balked. How can this be, they asked. When you're dead, you're dead. Well, it sure looks that way. If you've had anything at all to do with dead bodies, you know those Corinthians were right. Dead people do not really come back to life. Reality is not a zombie movie. Here and now, life always ends in real death. You can fight it. You can deny it. You can even try to ignore it. Choose whatever strategy you want. And it doesn't matter one little bit. Here and now, death happens to everyone. It's final. It's permanent. When you're dead, you're dead. Or so it seems. But Easter turns that all around. Our Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He lives. And because he lives, you will live also. And with a glorified body. But now what does that mean? A glorified body. Again, some of the Corinthians were skeptical. Hard enough to imagine breathing life into a dead corpse. But what then? A second death? Not at all. But as this morning's lesson points out, very difficult to describe. And so at one point, the apostle resorts to antitheses. The glorified body is the negation of everything that we know and experience. So let's pause for a moment and just think about this. Paul writes, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Perishable. Dishonor. Weakness. That's us. That's our experience of bodies and life. But since we know no other, and we are used to this reality and to these bodies, well, it turns out that in spite of all frailties, we actually like them. In fact, let's be honest about this. We don't just live in our bodies. We are our bodies. They are us. And it's also true that these bodies, natural and earthly though they are still pretty impressive individually, collectively. God has endowed humanity with what we need precisely for creating and maintaining our lives here. In fact, He's given us not just what we need, but also often what we want and what gives us pleasure. So, we not only live life, we enjoy life in the body, at least some of the time. But that's the rub, isn't it? Some of the time. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but always just some of the time. For our bodies are perishable. They are weak. Now, it's a great time to be alive in the body here in the 21st century, because if something goes wrong, we have all kinds of methods, tools, medicines to take care of and to help these bodies. Everything from exercise machines to heart transplants. You name it, we've got it. At least as compared with previous generations. So that life expectancy, well, it's higher in the modern world than it has ever been before in history. And yet, in spite of everything, we still know what St. Paul means when he talks about bodies that are weak and perishable. Here we are, almost 2,000 years after the apostle, and our bodies are just like his and his contemporaries. They get old. They wear out. They die. And sooner or later, we all begin to experience this. And it's not pleasant. Now, at first, you may make light of it. So what if you lose your hair at 20? At least if you're a man, it's no big deal. And so what if you start to go gray at 25? Well, I mean, that's no big deal either, because if it really bothers you, you can always cover it up. But then, there are the aches and pains that linger, and after a while, don't go away at all. Oh, and then there are the eyes that require the bifocals. The age spots that start appearing on your hands and your face. The crying need for more sleep, more energy. You can't quite seem to get it. Well, all of this is weakness. And some of you know about it already, and all of you will. At least, if you make it that far. Not everybody does. Death can strike the very young, and it always will the very old. And you know, many, many times before it finally arrives, the weakness of the body so shapes the self that a person really longs for death. So, we do indeed live in the body. But we also die in the body. Oh, yes, just one thing more. We also sin in the body. The body is not only weak and perishable, it is also dishonorable. And this, too, is a cause for really great grief. We are subject to the appetites of the body, immoderate and excessive. Our hands do the things they shouldn't. Our feet take us to places we shouldn't go. Our minds conceive of the worst wickedness. And our tongues are completely out of control. St. James reminds us, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. but they are. From first to last, life in the body is a life in sin. And we know no other reality. And for Christians, this hurts. Though we live by the forgiveness of sins, and though the Spirit sanctifies us day by day, nonetheless, with the apostle, we all have to admit, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yes, who? Jesus Christ, of course. And how? By Easter and the assured promise of a glorified body. Not weak, but powerful. Not perishable, but imperishable. Not dishonorable, but glorious. Glorious and glorified, just like his. For just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So thank God for Easter. Thank God for Jesus. And thank God for the resurrection. His, of course, but ours too. The Lord is risen.
Jesus is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen.